Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read starting in verse 9 and we'll read through verse number 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this wonderful day that You've given us, Lord, which to worship and Lord, to praise You, Lord, together as a church family. And Lord, it's so good to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and to sing praises to Your name. And Lord, to be in Your presence together, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd speak to our hearts this evening, Lord. Help me as I preach, Lord. I've just a few notes, Lord, written down on a piece of paper. Lord, it'd take me less than 5 minutes to read through these notes and close my Bible and go home. But Lord God, I pray that You'd use these words, Lord. Use me, Lord, Your servant. And God, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, bless us, God. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears to Your word, Lord. Help us to understand. And help it, Lord, to make a difference in our lives. In Your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Three times in the Bible, you'll find the Apostle Paul mention walking worthy. Walking worthy. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Three times Paul mentions walking worthy. First of all, here in Colossians, and then he mentions walking worthy again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 12. But let's go ahead and start. Let's read verse 11 and then we'll read verse 12. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's the second time Paul uses the word or the phrase walking worthy. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord who hath called you unto his glorious, unto this kingdom and glory, unto his kingdom and glory. Now, the third time it's used is in Ephesians. Look over with me in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So three times Paul mentions walking worthy. He thought that was important. I think it's important. I think we should walk worthy. What does that mean? The word worthy means of value. And I know that as a man, I am unworthy. I'm unworthy of God's blessings. I'm unworthy of what God has done for me in my life. I'm amazed at how good God's been to me. And you know what? I don't deserve any of it. I'm not worthy of His goodness. I'm not worthy of His blessings. But I'm not talking about us being worthy of God's best. That's not what I'm talking about here tonight. I'm talking about God being worthy of our best. Yeah, we're not worthy of God's best. And God did give His best. God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, that we could have life. We're not worthy of that. We're not worthy of God's best. We're unworthy. We're undeserving of God's best. But God is worthy of our best. God does deserve our best. We should walk worthy of the Lord. We should walk worthy of God. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about just for a few moments. walking worthy. There are three things Paul mentions in Colossians that I want you to see. In Colossians, if you turn back there with me in Colossians chapter 1, there's three things Paul mentions here that I'd like to point out to you, and then I've got some other points that I want to share with you, and then we'll be done. First of all, Paul mentions, in relation to walking worthy, being filled with the knowledge of God's will. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul says, in order to walk worthy, you've got to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Knowing what God's will is for your life. What is God's will? What is the knowledge of God's will for us? What does God want from our lives? What does God want us to do? Well, how does God want us to fulfill His will for us? Well, we know that God's will, first of all, for everyone is to be saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should die and go to hell, but that all should be saved. That's God's will. That's God's will for every man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved. But what about after we get saved? What's God's will for us then? You know, it's like in Bible college, you know, it's like a big mystery. Everybody was talking about seeking God's will for their lives. You know, we're just young teenagers, and we'd hear preachers get up and preach about the will of God, and we thought it was some wonderful mystical thing. It wasn't. The will of God for us at that time was to be doing what we were doing, to be where we were supposed to be, and to be obedient to God's word. That's all the will of God was for us at that time. But we were all thinking that God was going to make known His will to us in some wonderful, miraculous way, in some vision or something, or I don't know, but it never happened with me. When God called me to preach, I mean, it was pretty simple. God said, "Hey, I'm calling you to preach. Surrender and turn your life over to me, or you're going to be in for some problems and some trouble." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll preach. I don't want any trouble. I don't want any trouble." But God's good, and God will make known His will to us. God's will for us is, of course, to be sanctified, to be cleansed, to walk worthy in holiness, in truth, in purity. And, of course, not just to be sanctified, but to be separated, to be set apart. And that's what sanctified means, to be set apart. And then, of course, to be serving. We ought to be doing something in the ministry for God. We ought to be serving the Lord. There's nothing wrong with serving God. It's a good thing to serve the Lord. Before we serve the devil, before we serve the flesh, but after we've gotten saved, after we've professed Christ as our Savior, we ought to desire to serve Him. And then, of course, not only does Paul mention being filled with the knowledge of God's will in relation to walking worthy, Paul also mentions being fruitful unto every good work. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. Oh, that's not the verse. I'm looking at verse 10. I'm sorry. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. You know, we don't work to be saved. We don't work. We can't earn our salvation. We can't, by good works, earn God's favor. It's impossible. We'll fail. We'll fall short. But because we are saved, we should show forth good works. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wicked about doing good works. And like I said, not to be saved, not to earn God's favor, but because we are saved, we should be doing good works. We should be fruitful unto every good works. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Jesus tells us a parable in Luke chapter 13 about a fruit tree. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 6, The Bible says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. God expects us to bear fruit. God expects us to be fruitful unto every good work. Are we being fruitful? Are we being fruitful unto every good work? We should be. That's part of walking worthy. And then, lastly, if you turn back with me into the book of 1 Colossians, or 1 Colossians, there's one last thing Paul mentions here in Colossians chapter 1 about walking worthy, and it's further down in the chapter. Verse number 23. We've talked about being filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's part of walking worthy. We talked about being fruitful into every good work. That's part of walking worthy. And then in verse 23, Paul mentions here, continuing in faith. He says, If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We need to be faithful. That's part of walking worthy. Being faithful to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, I may not be able to do a lot of things. I can't play the guitar like Reese. I can't play the piano. I don't know anything about electronics like Brother Andrew does. I mean, there's some things that I can't do. And I probably won't ever learn to do. I'd love to learn to play the guitar. I really would. I'd love to be able to play the guitar and do that. But you know what? I may never get to do that. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But one thing that I can do, and one thing that we all can do and all can be, is faithful. We can all be faithful. We can all be there. We can all be where God wants us to be, when God wants us to be there, if you understand what I'm saying. We can be faithful. Anyway, well, there's three things that I think are important to walking worthy. We talked about being faithful. We talked about being filled with the knowledge of God's will and being fruitful unto every good work. That's part of being. That's part of walking worthy. But what else? There's three things here, and then I'll be done. I think in order to walk worthy, we have to walk in holiness. The Bible says God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, Be holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God, and God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be pure and clean. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Holiness is important to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's always been important to God. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't make any difference. Holiness is important to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Our lives ought to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's, boy, how far are we from that? How far am I from perfecting holiness in the fear of God in my own life? It's important. If we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to walk in holiness. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's just reasonable that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's just the bottom line. If we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to walk in holiness. And then, if we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to walk not only in holiness, but we're going to have to walk in honesty. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. These are simple, simple things. Keys to walking worthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye might, or that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing." God wants us to be honest people. God wants us to be truthful. A dishonest person is not going to get very far in life. And you're not going to get very far walking with the Lord if you're dishonest. We've got to be honest. We've got to be truthful. That's our testimony that's at stake. When people look at us, we say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again." People expect some things from us. And one of the things they expect us to be, and one of the characteristics they expect us to show forth is honesty. They expect us to be men and women of our word, and to be truthful, and to be honest, and to be upfront. It's part of walking worthy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Talking about honesty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. The Bible says, "Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." God wants us to be honest people. God wants us to live honest, just, upright lives. And if we're going to walk worthy with God, not only are we going to have to be holy, but we're going to have to be honest. And then lastly, how do we walk worthy? I believe it takes humility. I really believe that's the key ingredient right there is humility. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble." God hates pride. The Bible says the devil is the king over all the children of pride. Pride is what brought the devil to being cast out of heaven. It's his pride. He said, "I will exalt myself. I will be lifted up. I will be like the Most High God." He was full of pride, and God brought him low. And one day he's going to bow before God, and he's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the devil's proud, and God does not want us to be proud. God wants us to be humble. And if we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to walk in humility. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. These are things that are important to God. And if we're going to give our best for God, and God does deserve our best, we're going to have to not only walk in holiness, and not only walk in truth and honesty, but we're going to have to walk in humility before God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse number 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." God wants us to be humble. God hates pride, and we cannot walk worthy of God if we are walking as Christians and with pride in our hearts. There's no place in the heart of a Christian for pride. There are three men in the Bible you'll read about. Just three men, the Bible says, their faces shone. I mean, they shine. Their faces shine. and all three men, you read about in the Bible, and the Bible says that their faces shone, their faces shined. They were all humble men. Jesus Christ, when he was on the mountain of Transfiguration, the Bible says his face shined. It shone as a bright light. Jesus Christ was humble. Jesus Christ was a humble man. And then Moses. Moses was also a humble man. And guess what? He spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with God. And when he came down, people knew that he had been with God. The Bible says Moses was a meek man, the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And yet he was a friend of God, and his face shone. I mean, they had to cover Moses' face with a veil because the people couldn't look at him. They couldn't see. They couldn't look at his face. It was that bright. His face shone, the Bible says. Moses was a humble man. And then Stephen. Stephen, the preacher, the deacon, who was preaching to the Sanhedrin and was stoned. The Bible says his face shone as a light, shined as a light before he was stoned to death, while he was being stoned to death. I can't even imagine that. Humility is important to God. We can walk worthy of God if we walk in holiness, if we walk in honesty, if we walk in humility. We can be of value to God as Christians. Not that we're not of value to God. We know God cares about us. God cares for us. And we know that we are important to God. But as far as us doing, living up to our potential as Christians, in order for us to walk worthy, we're going to have to walk humbly and honestly. And we're going to have to walk in holiness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for your word and the truth that's in your word, Lord. I pray, God, that you would convict, Lord, others as you've convicted me about walking worthy, about walking humbly before you, about walking honestly, not just before you, but especially, Lord, before men. Lord, because they're watching us, and they're studying us. Lord, help us to be honest. Help us to be upright. Help us to be just. Help us, Lord, to walk in holiness. Lord, holiness is so important. And Lord, your word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Help us to walk in holiness. Help us to walk worthy of you, Lord. And thank you for giving us your best. Even though we were not deserving of your best, we were not deserving of your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your cleansing and your forgiveness and your salvation. Lord, we're not worthy, God. But Lord, help us to give you our best as Christians, because you are worthy of our utmost and our highest for you. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.